Okay, things look a little bit more organized right now. This is Dick Paddock with the Wolf Radio Show on what is it, July 6th. We're going to start things off with a little bit of news. The important thing for Wolf members is that this coming Saturday, which will be the 9th?
Yeah.
I'm lost.
Yes.
July 9th, we will be having our next regularly scheduled Wolf monthly meeting, and it will be held at the Chapel Hill Friends meeting in the library room upstairs, and it's at 531 Raleigh Road in Chapel Hill, and that will be beginning at 10 o'clock and running till about noon. And we have a whole lot of things that we need to discuss, including some items that we'll be talking about on the show today, and some other items having to do with our recent Congress. But at this moment, we'll not bore you anymore with all those details, and we'll let I'll let Lori go ahead and begin to talk about Gaza.
Hi, everybody. This is Lori Hoyt, your co-host. Dick Paddock, co-host and chief engineer, was just telling you about our monthly meeting, which everybody's invited to. All of our listeners, we hope, whether you want to join Wolf or not, that you might want to come and get to know us a little better and hear some of what's going on. You're always welcome. We just had a wonderful a time at the July 4th Carrboro Community Festival. We always have a table there, and they're so kind to let us be under the trees. And it was actually delightful there, a lovely breeze most of the time. And so we made some new friends. People came up and signed petitions. And so it was a really good time and good thing to do. So I just want to give you a little update about the flotilla to Gaza that we have talked about on previous shows. I want to give you a little bit of a roundup here. Given the tremendous obstacles placed in the way of this flotilla, we should not for a moment think that this has all been in vain, just the opposite. We have called greater attention to the urgent need to end the Israeli blockade and siege of Gaza, as well as the overall occupation of the Palestinian territories. The lengths to which the Israeli government has gone to stop these boats in the flotilla only expose the real story, how determined the Israeli government is to hold on to their repressive, inhuman, and illegal policies at any cost. This time, Israel has outsourced its naval blockade of Gaza to Greece, which really surprised me, because the Greek people are such freedom-loving people, but we know now how vulnerable they are financially to pressure from very powerful other governments, shall we say. And we cannot for one moment forget that the flotilla project is about our solidarity with the people of Gaza. Changing the Israeli government's policies and stopping the support that they get from the U.S. government requires the strongest movement we can possibly build. And here's some of the latest news that we have. U.S. passengers, because one of the boats was, as we told you on our other program, was called the Audacity of Hope, and had several U.S. citizens aboard, including Kathy Kelly, who's been on this program, who's a staunch peace activist, and others. U.S. passengers have been harassed and arrested by the Athens police. Nine of the passengers on the U.S. boat to Gaza began a fast on, and this is from July 4th, this update on 7-3. They are Ken Mayers, Carol Murray, Medea Benjamin, Pocky Weiland, Ray McGovern. I think you all will recognize Ray and Medea Benjamin's name, and maybe some of the others. Brad Taylor, Kit Kitteridge, Kathy Kelly, and Linda Durham. After a rousing gathering in front of the U.S. Embassy, and there are photos and videos on our website, they were all, quote, unquote, cited by the Athens police with occupying the sidewalk across from the embassy, and then they were let go right away after being cited. But today, and today would be July 4th, six members of the U.S. boat to Gaza were held at an Athens police station after Greek police arrested them for sitting on a park bench across from the residence of the U.S. ambassador to Greece. And these were Ray McGovern. These are our heroes and heroines, or sheroes. Ray McGovern, Linda Durham, Deborah Ellis, Ridgely Fuller, Ken Mayers, and Carol Murray were put into squad cars and taken to the police station. And as of this update, they were not sure of their status. Now, the captain of the Audacity of Hope, John Klusmeyer, is set to be at a hearing at 12 noon Athens time on Tuesday. And this is Wednesday, so I don't know if we have any update on that. There are two Greek lawyers serving as his defense counsel. It is so important to keep the pressure on the U.S. State Department to make sure that they, in turn, pressure the Greek government to release our captain. Below are numbers and email addresses that you can use to contact them. Please, please keep this pressure on. Okay, here's the status of some of the other boats in the flotilla. Shortly before 6 p.m. Greek time today, July 4th, the Canadian boat, named Tahrir, left its dock in Crete to set sail for Gaza. They got to within 4 miles of international waters when Greek special forces stopped them from going any further. The Greek military boarded the Canadian boat, and there are reports that they asked for the captain of the boat, all 30 people on board answered, "I am the captain." The Greeks took command of the boat and at last report were headed back to be docked. We have heard reports that all of the people on the boat, all 30, will be arrested, but there is not confirmation of that. Now, two boats from France, this is such an international, wonderful outpouring of support for the people of Gaza. It is so moving. Two boats from France, a cargo ship and a smaller passenger boat, are in international waters in the Mediterranean Sea. They did not set sail from Greece. We are not sure what they are planning on doing. The Irish boat was sabotaged beyond repair last week, and the Greek boat was also sabotaged, but we do not have an update on their status. Now, we talk about terrorism, and this is definitely terrorism, sabotaging boats that are in the Greek port, ready to go. And we don't know, we can't say for sure who, we can have suspicions, but the Irish boat was sabotaged beyond repair, and the Greek boat was also sabotaged. So be sure to check our website regularly for an update, as well as photo and video footage of much of the activity in Greece. This report is from Leslie Kagan, the coordinator of the U.S. boat to Gaza. And this is the time when we tell you to get out your pencils and pens and paper, because we're going to give you some numbers and places to call and what message we're asking you to give. So.
Yeah. Okay.
You want to take it away, Dick?
Yeah. Call the White House at its comment line. There are two actual numbers, 202 202-456-1414 and 202-456-1111.
Mm-hmm.
There is also a State Department Overseas U.S. Citizen Services. I'm going to have to get that one again. There's a general number that you call, which is 202-647-4000. And you ask for the Overseas U.S. Citizen Services Duty Officer.
That's a mouthful. Want to say that again?
Yeah. You're going to have to type fast. Overseas U.S. Citizen Services Duty Officer. And you get a live State Department official who has to hear whatever you say and presumably take notes on it.
And one of the this is the basic message we'd like you to give to them, is that you want them to help secure the release of John Klusmeyer as well as the release of the U.S. boat to Gaza. Tell them that you expect the U.S. government to support the right of its citizens to sail freely to Gaza. Dick, want to go to the next one?
The voicemail? The voicemail for Kim Richter, also at the State Department, says she's out of the office for several days and that callers with urgent issues should contact a colleague at 202-647-4578. Hopefully you will be able to reach Kim Richter's office directly tomorrow.
That would be actually
the 5th yesterday, mm-hmm. and also presumably the 6th and so on,
mm-hmm.
by calling 202-647-8303. The reason for calling Kim Richter is she is in the Office of Consular Affairs, Overseas American Citizen Services at the State Department, which sounds like it's kind of related to the title of the person that we gave earlier, the Overseas U.S. Citizen Services Duty Officer. Very similar title.
But it's two different numbers, though, yeah.
Right.
So try them all.
Right. Give them a piece of your mind or two.
And if you can place an international phone call, the number at the U.S. Embassy in Athens is 011-30-210-721-2951. So that's an overseas call to the U.S. Embassy in Athens. There are several other after-hour numbers that you can call for emergency situations. I think since the holiday is over, I think rather than people getting a writing cramp, I think we've given quite a few numbers. But also, this is not going to be that hard either. Please also try to call or fax or email your members of Congress as well. Help us to keep the pressure up. So I think that for those who like email, did I see an email number on here?
There is an email at the U.S. Embassy in Athens.
Yeah, you want to try that?
That's Athens, Athens, AMEMB, at state.gov.
Okay.
Athens, AMEMB, at state.gov.
I guess Athens at MEM, yeah. I guess maybe it's short for member. Athens, AMEMB. So I think that you've gotten enough ways to make contact. And at the end of the program, maybe we'll repeat some of them. But if you lose them, or that just seems like a little too much to you, but calling our own White House, I'm sure we all do that. And that's not that difficult, and
right. And
our own members of Congress. So we encourage you, because as we said at the beginning of this update, that the more attention and pressure that we can keep going to highlight what is happening to the people in Gaza, is really right. wonderful.
There was an update this morning.
Okay.
That I got from Democracy Now, just listening to what they reported, and they had a very similar report to what we described, which was that the American boat had set sail and was headed out, and there apparently were lots of boats around waving American flags and all accompanying the Audacity of Hope. But they were, in fact, waylaid by someone from the Greek Coast Guard and also a boat full of commandos, or what they called commandos.
I guess Greek commandos, yeah.
Yeah, obviously, you know, heavily armed with AK-47s or whatever. So they ended up being turned back, but the captain refused to go to back to I think it was Palma where they had originated because of the sabotage that had been taking place. So they were allowed to go to some other port. I don't know
Greek
which one.
Piraeus
some
or
other,
yeah.
Yeah, so that there was at least a possibility that there might be not as much chance of sabotage.
Yeah.
But, you know, as Lori said, sabotage like that is in fact terrorism because the definition of terrorism is violence for political purposes. And mm-hmm. This is clearly political.
Yes, clearly. And we're not sure who did it, but some powerful people who are not shy of using violence and
also clearly, you know, we definitely have their attention if they
yeah,
are.
Yeah, that they're going that far.
They're going that far, and the Israelis are trying. The Israeli government is trying to buffer itself from being responsible by coercing other people or bribing other people who are in desperate straits. Namely,
yes.
Greece.
Yes, very desperate straits.
To do their work for them.
I love the way that was put about outsourcing.
Right.
The violence that they do, mm-hmm. so and the illegal violence. So this is a very troubling, but I like that the tone of that report was also heartening in that. That certainly they are getting attention to the Gaza cause and trying to make people realize to what lengths the Israeli government will do to stop any help. And one of the things that I heard this morning was that I think it was the U.S. boat had, I think, 30,000 letters. Oh, I hope it's not. It may be 3,000 or it may be 30,000. I think it was 30,000 letters to the children of Gaza from American citizens, one of whom was our very own Miriam Thompson, wrote one of those letters. So this is the kind of boat with humanitarian supplies, with letters of encouragement and love and support that is being violently kept away from giving that ray of hope and love and encouragement to the people and to the children of Gaza. And at that, it's not breaking your heart. Your heart's gotten a little cold. So I think we'll have a few more announcements, but I think, Dick, we'll take a little musical break.
If you like a little musical break.
Yeah, so just instead of hearing our voices so much, give people's ears some ear candy.
Right. Yeah, this is Stevie Earle.
Ooh.
Sounds appropriate. The Gringo's Tale.
Okay, thank you.
Like you're new to this town. We're a long way away,
Okay, we're back now with some more news. This is Dick Paddock of the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, wiggling the buttons and throwing the switches. And my co-host on the other side of the desk is Lori Hoyt.
Yeah.
Also a member of Women's International League. Go ahead, Lori.
Okay. And I just was thinking, Dick, that is this just about our halfway point? Should we mention our underwriter first?
Yeah, good idea.
Yeah. I just thought of that. We are very pleased to have an underwriter, Internationalist Bookstore, on 405 West Franklin Street in downtown Chapel Hill. And they have been our underwriter for a couple of years now. And they have wonderful political and cultural books that you're not going to find in the big box bookstores, or most likely will not find. And they also order any book for you that they don't have. But as important as their books is that they are a community resource. They are a community hangout place. They have all kinds of information about the kinds of things we're telling you here and other things. So they have a weekly movie. They have a craft group. They have all kinds of wonderful things going on for young and old. And so we encourage you to check out their website, www.internationalistbooks.org, but strongly encourage you to pop in and say hey and get to know some of the wonderful volunteers there, because like Wilf, like this radio station, they are volunteer-run.
Right.
And we wonderful volunteers keep a lot of good things going in this world. What the next really important thing that I want to tell you about, and this is very important, it's coming up July 19th. So if you have your pen still out, find your calendar, put this on your calendar. July 19th, the flyer says, tell TIAA CREF, you can run, but you can't hide. It's going to be their annual shareholder meeting in Charlotte. TIAA CREF, one of the world's largest retirement funds, and I think a lot of academics and teachers and people have are invested there. They invest in companies, though. This is what a lot of people don't know, how your retirement investment is being used. They invest in companies that profit from Israeli occupation, while Caterpillar bulldozers demolish Palestinian homes. TIAA CREF is censoring their investors who don't want to profit from such destruction. They're trying to keep people from knowing about this. And to the extent, boy, that they move their annual meeting from New York City to Charlotte, North Carolina, in
Sounds
an attempt.
Familiar.
Yes, didn't we just talk about this before? In another case, in an attempt to avoid protests, let's show TIAA CREF that they can't silence the call to end the occupation. And this call is being sponsored by JewishVoiceForPeace.org. So you can contact, I'll tell you a little bit more about it. You can contact Stephanie Fox, Stephanie, S-T-E-F-A-N-I-E, Stephanie, at JewishVoiceForPeace.org. So this is from people who, the organizing group is the Jewish Voice for Peace, although many of us who may not be Jewish, many of us are joining in with this. So this is, we want to make sure you all know the most up-to-date info. It's going to be on a Tuesday, July 19th. So there's an email. We're going to try to get a lot of people to go. And you can contact Deborah Grace here about carpooling from the Triangle. And you can contact our local person, Deborah Grace, and Deborah is D-E-B-O-R-A-H, Deborah Grace, G-R-A-C-E, one word, Deborah Grace, at ME.com. So this will be for us local folks about carpooling, and she's going to bring the North Carolina BDS banner. Let's see, you can run, but you can't hide. Activists all across the country are demanding that TIAA CREF, one of the largest financial services in the U.S., boy, that they stop investing in companies that profit off of Israel's occupation of Palestinian land and peoples. Despite their slogan of, quote, financial services for the greater good, they have recently censored a shareholder resolution calling for an investigation of these companies. And as I said before, move their annual shareholders meeting from New York City to Charlotte. So let's show these powerful institutions in this country that they can neither hide from the injustice of occupation nor from the growing movement for boycott, divestment, and sanctions, BDS, boycott, divestment, and sanctions. So despite their efforts to dodge protests, people will be there, activists will be there in Charlotte to prove them wrong, shame them for their act of censorship, and draw attention to the realities of occupation. So,
and that's it. That's at 12:30 on July 19th.
12:30 in Charlotte. And if you if you're going to be carpooling on your own, it's going to be at the Charlotte office, 8500 Andrew Carnegie Boulevard, Charlotte, North Carolina. So I guess a lot of people know how to look that up and find their way. So get your map out, get to Charlotte, and go to 8500 Andrew Carnegie Boulevard if you want to make up your own carpool. And if you want to find out about other carpooling, go to Deborah Grace at MEA.com and join what we hope will be many, many, many activists from all over the state and other states converging on Charlotte.
And if you'll pardon me, there is another email. It's a website. It's wedivest.org, wedivest.org.
Oh, right here. In a block thing that I missed. Thank you. WeDivest.org.
And if you want to arrive in style in Charlotte, you can always, at any of the stops where Amtrak has its three trains a day each direction service, like Durham or Raleigh or Greensboro, I'll go right down to Charlotte. And it will be a very advantageous schedule because the train will get in. The early train gets in about 10 o'clock in Charlotte, and the demonstration is at 12:30. So you'll have plenty of time to meet and greet your friends. And
have a bite of lunch.
Yeah, have a bite of lunch. And also have the joy of a train ride.
Yes. So this could be, such a good day.
That's right.
Such a good day. Okay, well, Dick, I think, do we have any other announcements, or should we then go back to some music?
Yeah, we have some more announcements, okay. But it wouldn't hurt to put a little music back on here. Let's see if I can find something that's
Dick has
agreeable.
The most amazing collection of
Weird stuff.
Of music by activists and with themes of peace and justice and by activists, musicians, and also just some downright good musicians. So it's always a pleasure to have Dick bring some of his music for these sultry summer days and late afternoons when we need to get our energy up to go do some good work for peace and justice, but also to remember that there's beauty in this world, lest we forget, Dick, lest we forget.
That's right. Okay, let's have a little Willie Nelson and Friends.
Ooh, thank you.
Whatever happened to peace on earth?
Gonna kill us, we better kill them first. But I remember a commandment, thou shalt not kill. How much is that soldier's life worth?
And what happened to peace on earth?
And the bewildered herd still believe that everything we've been told from our birth. Hell, they won't lie to me, not on my own damn TV. But how much is a liar's word worth?
And what happened to peace on earth?
So I guess it's just two and the other before they can do it to you. But let's just kill them. God's all about? Is this what God wants us to do?
And the bewildered herd still believing everything we've been told from our birth.
Hell, they won't lie to me, not on my own damn TV. But how much is a liar's word worth?
What happened to peace on earth?
Don't confuse caring for weakness. Can't put that label on me. The truth is my weapon of mass protection, and I believe truth sets you free.
The bewildered herd still believing everything we've been told from our birth.
Hell, they won't lie to me, not on my own damn TV. But how much is a liar's word worth?
We're back, and this is our last big announcement thing, and it's something that we've talked about on other programs, and that is the attempt to suppress the vote by this voter ID law. So what is it? Let me see. Here's the flyer. Respect and protect the vote. There'll be a rally in Raleigh, a rally. On Wednesday, July 13th, I'm smiling about that rally, but it is not a laughing matter. This is pretty, very, very serious. On Wednesday, July 13th at 11 a.m. at the North Carolina General Assembly Building, 16 West Jones Street, Raleigh. The General Assembly convenes again on July 13th, and the GOP leaders have announced that they will try to override Governor Perdue's veto of the voter ID bill, they want to eliminate same-day registration, slice a week off early voting and straight ticket voting, and eliminate successful public financing programs. Wow, they just want to do as much damage as they can, as quick as they can. Meanwhile, redistricting of voting districts is underway, and the stakes are huge. We can't stop now. Take a stand for democracy. Join us in Raleigh on July 13th. Please wear red to the rally. Why? Because we're seeing red over these blatant attempts to suppress voter turnout in North Carolina. Again, I hope you still have your pencil or pen out. For more information, contact Adam Sotak, an old friend also of ours, of Democracy North Carolina at 919-286-6000, extension 11, or email him at Adam Sotak, that's ADAMSOTAK, Adam Sotak at democracynorthcarolina.org. Or just go to www.democracynorthcarolina.org. This is nonpartisan. It's about protecting and respecting our right to vote, whether you're Democrat or Republican or Independent.
Or Libertarian.
Or Libertarian.
Don't forget that part.
Or Green Party, or whomever you are. It's nonpartisan, and it's sponsored by the Respect Our Vote Coalition. So we just want to make sure that everybody who cares about our right to vote, please know that you're invited and you will be respected. We'd love to have you there. People from all parties and all walks of life, as much right. diversity in every way as we can get.
One of the things that they have asked is that you, in fact, do call Adam Sotak and let him know that you're planning on coming, because they're trying to get a clear view of who's going to show up. Well, not who particularly, but how many people are going to show up so that they can plan adequately for the demonstration.
Okay. Yes. And Adam is such a good guy. And Democracy North Carolina was so sad. They moved from Carrboro. They're now on Green Street in Durham, but they're still one of my favorite organizations. And Dick, do you want to? There's a point that we've been a lot of people who care about democracy have been bombarding the papers with pro voter ID letters to the editor, we just really want. There's been some responses from people making this point, and maybe you can read the response to that point that we have, saying, well, some other states require a voter ID. You know, why should North Carolina be any different? And you've got a good answer.
Well, I think there's two answers. One is we've gotten along without voter IDs for a long time, mm-hmm. and there's practically no instances recorded in North Carolina or anywhere else in the country of actual what they claim is such a plague, which is voter fraud.
Yeah.
Now, there's a lot of
another one of these lies that keeps being repeated.
Right. I saw something recently that indicated over the last, I believe the period was a decade, there were actually 50 recorded cases of voter fraud. Now, that's just not very many.
No, in a whole decade of a whole country.
Right. And it seems to me like it's not hardly worth worrying about. It seems to me what we want to do is get more people voting, because that's something we do have a problem with.
Yes.
That people don't turn out to vote.
We have a very low voter turnout compared to other democracies,
right.
I think.
And there may be several reasons for it. Some people say that, well, there's not much of a choice, which I tend to agree about, but that's, that's my personal issue in a way. But the fact is that vote caging, which is keeping people from voting because they don't know that they actually can, such as if you in North Carolina, if you have finished paying your debt to society in terms of a felony, and you finished your parole, then if you don't have to visit your parole officer or anything like that, and you have no more obligation as far as prison time is concerned, then you can register to vote. Many people don't know that, don't think that's the case. But as a matter of fact, I was in a situation watching a poll where somebody actually drove up and wanted to know if he could vote, because he was, in fact, through, but he thought he couldn't vote, but a friend of his said that yes, he could, and so he actually drove up to the polls and found out that he could vote, and so he went in and voted. It was fortunately a time where they had actually same day registration and vote, so that worked out very well, and that's another reason for not abolishing same day voting or same day registration, depending on what you call it, and that also needs to be emphasized, that we don't want that to be taken away. What we need to do, as I said, is make it easier for people who are inconvenienced, perhaps in a major way, by being disabled.
Working people.
Or people who work. Why do we have voting days on Tuesday? Why not on a weekend day? Mm-hmm. And the answer to that obviously is you go ahead and have early voting, where people can go in and actually register and vote sometime during the week or on a weekend day.
You might happen to be very, very, very sick that day. And also there's people whose shifts keep shifting and changing so that, they may have to work overtime and didn't plan. I mean, there's so many things that can make it difficult and onerous to be able to vote on one particular day.
Right.
And this was so exciting when we finally had things opened up a little bit with the early voting and...
Right.
And, go ahead.
Yeah, another thing that's really nice is the motor voter rule, where you can register when you renew your license, your driver's license.
Yeah.
And that takes care of two problems, it seems to me. One is that you use your actual ID when you register, and then you shouldn't need to use it again.
Yeah.
So we don't need a voter ID thing in that for that reason as well.
Well, and there's another point there, Dick, that I had not thought of. Most of the, which I said a little earlier, those who are pro having this voter ID, are emphasizing that a majority of other states require ID, why not North Carolina? And what a lot of people don't realize is that the North Carolina bill is far more restrictive than the other states have, and I didn't know that. Did you before?
No, I didn't know that before. I hadn't realized that that was in fact the case.
Yeah. Down here it says.
Fortunately, Governor Perdue has vetoed it. So
she's been really good, hasn't she?
It's she. I believe the number of bills that she has vetoed is like 15, mm-hmm. and that's probably a record.
Yeah,
and she's been what I would consider to be exhibiting due diligence on behalf of the North Carolina people.
It says the conservative Perdue was right to call the bill, the North Carolina bill, excessive. It's already a felony to lie when you sign in to get your ballot. I mean, already you can be prosecuted. And an ID is required when you first register. So the ID was required at the beginning. Conservative legislators rejected a proposal to mirror other states that ask voters to show a form of ID at the polls. Our legislators insisted upon a government photo ID with no exceptions. In truth, even among the handful of states with a narrow photo ID requirement, most accept a photo ID from a private college or an affidavit signed at the poll under penalty of perjury, but not the North Carolina bill. So they just keep it very, very, very narrow. They have created an ID barrier that will disproportionately harm young adults, low-income voters, people of color, seniors who no longer drive, and women who change their names. Oh, well, I didn't even think of that one. They're ready to spend millions to make this happen, this at a time when we're literally laying off teachers, and we're going to enact a procedure that just serves their partisan advantage. Even, and this is really important, if only 2% of registered voters are harmed, that's 120,000 people, and we know how narrow some of these votes are in recent years.
Yeah, how close they are, right. Yeah. Something that we should mention that we haven't mentioned so far is that this is being presented by the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom.
Yes.
And we need to mention our website, trianglewilpf.org. That's something else you can write down if you're not already filled up with writer's cramp. That, again, was Triangle, TRIANGLEWILPF.org.
Yes, and you'll find out about all the wonderful things that we do in coalition with lots of other peace and social justice groups. None of us can do this work all alone. We all need each other, and we invite any of you who are looking for a group to join, consider us, but we're in solidarity. Last week we had Jim Warren on from NC Warren, which is our nuclear energy and watchdog.
Waste Awareness and Reduction Network.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yes. So with Peace Action, with many other groups, Progressive
Dems. NAACP.
The NAACP, thank you. In particular, we are in very close solidarity with the NAACP. So, we all need each other. We all need to be committed right now to work together before this these terrible moves to bring us back to the last century and undo all the hard work that people have worked so hard for the last 50 years to make this state a better state. Clean water, clean air, clean voting, good education. So many things that we have been proud of, knew that they needed to be better, but we've taken pride in what was accomplished. And unless we all get out there, it's the forces of money and power are working their tails off to undo all of it, and we need to be aware that this is the reality of what's going on. So, just one more time, that we are going to be having our monthly WILF meeting this Saturday from 10 to 12 at the Friends Meeting House on Raleigh Road. I think we've talked to you about Gaza. We're going to hear more about it at the meeting and update about the flotillas. But the 19th, I just want to emphasize that with all that we've talked about, this is what's coming up for us locally.
Right, and the 19th, as you mentioned, and also the 13th, July
13th. And the 13th, this is what I meant.
Right. Yeah. Don't forget to wear red.
Oh, yes.
I want my red back.
Because we're seeing red over these blatant attempts. Yes, and we want to. So you've got your ears full, I hope, with some good music and good thoughts and lots of things to do and to put on your calendar. If you can even do some of them, we would be so pleased that made our time here worthwhile. Right,
right.
Dick?
Yeah. Don't forget that the July 13th rally.
Yes, Raleigh rally.
Raleigh rally.
Kind of slides right off the tongue.
Right. Is from 11 a.m. to 12:30 in front of the General Assembly Building on Jones Street.
Not very long. 11 a.m. to 12:30. It won't take too much of your day. And then the 19th was in Charlotte with the TIAA craft.
Right.
So, Dick, I think that we've done a lot of talking today, and I think that we should go out on some of your beautiful music.
Yeah, let's see if we can find something.
Something really special. I'm just saying to Dick while it was playing that I think we should make that. What is the title of the Willie Nelson song we just played?
Oh, Whatever Happened to Peace on Earth?
What happened to peace on earth? I think that should become our theme song for at least a while.
Yeah, would be good.
All of you Wilfers who are listening in, give us your thoughts and opinions on that. You may have some other favorite song. Let us know what it is, because we believe in music as well as peace and justice.
Yeah. Okay, here's a number by another Stevie Wonder.
Ooh.
Too High from his album Inner Visions.
Okay. We'll see you next. Listen to you next week.
She's a girl in a dream. She's a four-eyed cartoon monster on a TV screen. She takes another puff and says it's a crazy scene. The bread is green. She's a tangerine. I'm
too high, I'm too high. I hope I never ever come down. She's a girl in her life, but her world's a superficial paradise. She had a chance to make it big more than once or twice, but no dice, she wasn't very nice. They said she's too high.